The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, this is Winners and Sinners, where we look back on the week that was, but with a few twists. And we are delighted, as ever, to be joined by Today FM's Alison Curtis and Off the Balls, Ger Gilroy. Guys, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Can we come to you first, Alison? Your winner of the week.
It's new news. It happened last night, CMAT. She won the Ivor Novello Award, and she came out and said, it's really nice to win something in Britain for once, because she's been nominated for a good few things in the past. But what I really liked was her speech last night. I don't know if anybody caught it, but she basically said, I compel my fellow artists in the room, of which there were many, of course, they were all nominated, to speak up and use your voice and use it properly. And I know we've talked about it before, I think, on the show, but is it really the artist's job to be doing this? Like, that you know, they're artists, are they meant to be vocal? We can totally see that Bruce Springsteen is really going for it these days as well. So I think sometimes, yeah, like the platform's there, and I commend the people who do take it, and CMAT certainly does take it. Like, obviously that album is completely all about the Celtic Tiger times and how it disadvantaged certain people. So yeah, I just thought it was good, and I just thought her reaction to it and her speech was really good as well, and people's reaction to her speech. So yeah, I think she's my winner this week.
No. Actually, love CMAT. No, I genuinely do. I think she's amazing. But I do think a speech that I really liked recently, which would have been a bit different, would have been Roisin Murphy about a week ago.
Okay.
Speaking out about artists who have been persecuted, because she came out and in a private Facebook conversation, she slammed puberty blockers. And then there was a really orchestrated, concentrated attempt to cancel her.
Yes.
And to cancel her album, and there was awful reviews in The Guardian kind of going, great music, but a terrible stain, you know, what with her character. And I think one of the issues that there is in art and in all the forms, be it literature, be it music, be it anything else, there is an acceptable set of views. So if you are kneecap and you come out and you say Free Palestine, you will have huge backing. But if you are somebody who comes out and says something less popular, like a Roisin Murphy, the backlash is real. And I think that is an issue, because that is not actually artistic freedom of expression. That is, these are the acceptable views, and if you express them, Bob's your uncle.
You
and
also have the scenario, sorry, whereby women will be always more highly judged,
and
people will be more
percent.
Critical of them, for sure.
When you look, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to do the gender thing, but I'm just thinking of J.K. Rowling, who has been thrown in the bin. I don't know if you've ever heard what John Cleese says about transgender people, which is way less measured, way less thought through, way less motivated by maybe being pro-women, and way more just having a pop. And no backlash whatsoever. So I just think this is
J.K. Rowling is a lot more relevant to today's world.
True.
Yeah. And true. Relentless.
Like Graham Lennon, in fairness, got fairly hammered for his views as well.
That is true too.
But I think it's really interesting. And some of the best albums ever made
are political.
Like, one of my favourite albums is Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. I listened to that album. That's my most played track of 2025 or whatever.
That's on his Spotify rap.
Yeah.
Where he turned out to be 97.
This is true. I suppose the slight misgiving I have, and look, anyone's entitled to go up and express their views. It's a free world, and I totally respect that, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or CMAD or anybody else. I suppose my difficulty is, I think sometimes when you drill down into what they're saying, I'm not always sure, and I'm not singling anybody out here, but I'm not always sure there's a huge amount of depth there and there's a huge amount of knowledge behind it. That's,
sometimes that can be the case. I think what I'm saying is it's such a gamble for everybody, and that's a lot of people are really afraid to do anything at all. So you've got that whole thing where people are like, why is Taylor not being more vocal? And then you've got the argument
exactly.
Why does she have to be? But it is a gamble. My point with CMAT is that, you know, maybe she's in that sweet spot where she can risk it all. Bruce Springsteen certainly can. He's got a little few coins in the bank.
He doesn't need to
and
care,
he's always
he?
Been political. The River is political. Like
totally.
He's
born in the USA, despite sounding like a triumphalist song.
Took us when I hit the ground. Like he is political, and has always been. He's like a latter day
back as well with everything.
Bob Dylan-y type, you know. Mm. But we forget that, and obviously Bob Dylan himself very political.
Yeah,
I do agree with you, and I do love Seema, but I just think sometimes, particularly for artists, there are accepted views and you're loved if you come out with them.
Yeah,
like Bruce Springsteen's very anti-Trump. So that lands very well with people. I don't know if he was pro-Trump that it would land nearly as well.
We can see Kid Rock's not doing exceptionally well.
And by the way, my views would chime far more with Bruce Springsteen. My point is that there are certain accepted...
There's an orthodoxy.
And that kind of bothers me.
I think people are allowed to be held to account for their views, right? And I don't think it's always cancellation. In some of the cases you've been talking about, people have been cancelled.
Roisin was definitely an attempt at cancellation.
I do think, though, that if you have a viewpoint and you're either on whatever side, then you're taking the opportunity to make that viewpoint and you're up there to be held accountable for that viewpoint. Whether or not there's a pile-on afterwards, that's not always in the control of the people who are saying, hang on a second, I actually disagree with your viewpoint here. Now, are artists ready
some
for
some views are
measured...
definitely more popular than others.
But,
and some of that, I think, lends itself to performative views is what I guess I'm kind of tapping into.
I've no doubt about that. I've no doubt that people stand and join in campaigns towards the end of something. If somebody has
the bandwagon.
Been a long-held defender of something or involved in something. Like, so we get this with sports people all the time. Rory gets asked about everything and... almost no matter what he does, he's going to end up in a lot of trouble for it. He played golf with Trump. He didn't play golf with Trump first, and then he did play golf with Trump. Trump is going to play, it looks like, in the Irish Open, in the Pro-Am. And what does everybody do? Like, do you cover this as like just a normal Irish Open?
Do we let him say he got a 66 when he got an 86?
Exactly. Yeah. 86 like all
Trump.
The great dictators. I do think that if you want people to say stuff, they have to be accountable for what they say afterwards. And I would like them all to say what they actually think and then to be able to have conversations about it.
Just the stakes are so high, so I do admire when people do it.
The issue I would have, Ger, with it, I can't really argue with anything you're saying as such because it sounds reasonable. But when you say accountable, like, for example, Roisin Murphy, and I'm only coming back to her because she's another woman who spoke out, it's an easy comparison because she's another female music artist. Her views would now chime very much with the law in the UK, and actually the majority of views of the population and indeed of the medical fraternity that puberty blockers are not a good idea. So she said that, but at the time she said it was controversial, and yet she was, I'm doing inverted commas here and we're on the radio, held accountable with my fingers. People get held accountable for unpopular views, not necessarily wrong views. And because the backlash is so real and so impactful on their livelihood and on their mental health and all of that, I think accountable is a nice word, but it minimises the effect of cancellation and pylons and what they actually do to the person who may not even be in the wrong.
Yeah, I do think there's a difference. I do think there's we can't have these nuanced conversations with people who put views out in social media.
I know, you're right.
They're not actually
totally.
A long form podcast or a long form interview or a documentary where you actually get to see somebody unfurl. Like, you know, I think somebody mentioned that not great depth to opinions. Maybe she'd done loads of research on it, maybe she hadn't. But it's worth having that conversation to find that out on both sides of these things, where somebody is fully in favour of something is like, how much work have you actually done on that? So I do wonder about the merits sometimes of asking people their views on politics when but if they have thought it through, well, then let's be having you.
Oh, I think they're absolutely entitled to express their views. A lot of time I find myself switching off because I'm not.
Are you switching off right now?
No, I'm no. I think it's a really not at all, because I actually think it's a really interesting conversation. But I think in most of the cases, if you challenge them, if you drill in, I'm not sure how much
If I could just say, sorry, sorry,
I don't
Oscar
want to start
winner speeches.
Yeah, I don't want to start even singling out, because I'm sure there are people who know exactly. Like, to be fair, you know, like Bono, for example.
Yeah.
When he talks about world poverty or whatever, he has done, like, I don't always agree with him, but he's bloody well done his research and he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know, like, I always think back of Live Aid, where Bob Dylan gets up in the middle of it and goes, you know, we need to give some of his money to the farmers. And you're going, do you remember that? Like, he actually said that. And you're going, what? What the hell? And then, well, of course, they did have Farm Aid or something after it. Like, but so I would question
that.
There
are topics that, and we'll finish. Sorry, I'll finish my point here. But what you're saying, going back to Roche, you know, there are certain things where it's like, I just don't feel that unless you're having the lived experience yourself, unless you know someone who's going through it, that you should be that invested in. And particularly trans, I just think you're better off not actually sharing your opinion on that because it can be harmful.
But you
I
see,
will say.
Can I say the last thing? But is that not contradictory to what you said in the first place? That isn't it great to see people speaking?
I'm not trying to trick you or anything. But you know, oh, great. Yeah.
But in particular, some views are accepted. And
I get really prickly about trans stuff because it's just too many people without knowledge speaking about it.
I think CMAT was talking about her lived experience. And that's the point, is that she is an artist who is actually leaning on growing up in Ashburn, seeing the ghost estate, seeing her pal's father's die as a result of the economic issues that were prevalent in the day. And if she's saying, talk about the stuff you know, I'd be interested in that.
Okay.
I wish you could see Jer's face. Jer's like, oh, what have I said?
He just did a mic drop.
Well, we better get to your winner, Jer.
top that, Jer.
Well, I can't at all. I was in London for the podcast show this week. I hadn't ever been there
You have
before.
A great life, don't
and
you?
No, it was work. I was speaking on a panel. It was in Islington, actually, just after Arsenal won the league. So the whole place
I'd love to have been over for that.
Very high profile guest list. Jamie Carragher, Emily Maitlis, Piers Morgan was there.
Jer Gilroy.
Well, ours wasn't.
All the greats.
Ours wasn't the busiest of the talks. But podcasting has obviously exploded, right? And there was a sense that maybe it was a bit frothy, that like something is going to happen to condense it, to contract media around podcasting the way almost every other form of media has contracted. Big players have come in, Spotify have come in, Google are through YouTube trying to say that they're the biggest podcast platform in the world, which means that everybody has to watch podcasts for them to be podcasts anymore. And I'm like, I don't want to watch podcasts.
Oh, I completely agree with you.
I want to listen.
Completely agree with you.
Pivot to video thing. We had it in 2015 where all the newsrooms sacked all their writers and replaced them with video people. And then 2 years later, they were like,
yeah,
people still want to read stuff. So there's a big boom. This will all be filmed forever from now on. Everything that everybody ever does in audio. And I'm like, grand. But when I'm cooking, I'm not watching you.
No.
I'm driving. I hope people are watching you.
But you have seen it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not compelling visually. Like a great podcast is compelling audibly.
Yeah.
Not visually. I listen to The Rest Is History or whatever the whole time. I listen to you guys. I don't need to see the people talking. I want to hear what they have to say.
Is it bad that you have the option?
As no,
I presume
no,
you can still listen without
not.
Watching because
no.
the audio exists. And as someone who has a podcast, it's really weird that you say this because I had a conversation with production-y people and they were saying we're going to go to full-length videos as opposed to clips, which we currently, you know, the way everyone uses the little clippy things. And I was like, really? What is that for? And I think YouTube is driving it because YouTube has become, YouTube's been around for donkeys, but it's become enormous. It's rivaling others. Proper streamers, but for want of a better word, you know, that's producing different, more slick content maybe. But also, apparently it's to do with commercial, that ads are more varied and blah, blah, blah with video. So it's commercially driven
more.
And also they're trying to
ads are more lucrative.
But can't you have kind of both? As in
you
could listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, no,
Alison, what's your take?
I love Amy Poehler's Good Hang. Like I absolutely love that. I was delighted that she won, you know, the first ever podcast award at the Golden Globes for that. But she has, it's all videoed. And because it's all famous people that she's talking to, people I'm interested in, like previous Parks and Rec, you know, cast members and things like that. I actually like it. So not when I'm driving, obviously, but when I'm at home, if it's on. Not through all the way, but like it's good to dip in and out. But yeah, it's lucrative, basically.
Would you not watch some of the things?
No.
Nothing?
No. You see, I tend to be listening when I'm, you know, lying in bed.
Sure.
Or on the bus or something. I don't, no, I like the rest of history is in, they've gone back to World War One, so I'm in absolute heaven at the moment. But I don't need to see the two lads, and I don't need to see the arrow coming down, you know, over Belgium or whatever. I've seen it. I know what's happening, you know. I want to hear what podcast, their take though. is.
I'm guessing, though, that if you compare people who stream visuals, as in the Netflix, the YouTubes, the it's bigger and younger than the people.
Are you saying
I'm
old?
No, I'm saying you're lovely. And I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah. Listen, we better take a break there. Alison and Jer are still with us. They'll be back with their sinners in a moment.
Welcome back to That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Okay, we're back with Winners and Sinners with Alison Curtis of Today FM and Off the Balls, Ger Gilroy. Ger, who is your or what is your sinner of the week?
Not to be a party pooper here, as everybody prepares for their barbecues at the weekend and, you know, gets the shorts out for the first time in 9 months or however long it's been since we've seen sun. But this heat wave that's going to roil across Europe, there's a heat wave across Europe every year, right? We know about this. Like 20,000 French people have died this weekend because it's 40 degrees. That's going to happen at some point. Not really generally in May. It's generally later in the summer. Yep. So this is just a little bit earlier. And I think we're all being a little blasé about the imminent apocalypse that's coming from climate. All the other apocalypses that might happen in the meantime has maybe distracted us somewhat from the other thing that's happening. You know, AI is obviously, I'm going to talk about that in my final bit. And I was like, oh yeah, but what about all the data centers that... Yeah. Every time I ask for something to happen, like a little ping goes off and water gets drained from a resource somewhere where they really need it, and the electricity gets fired up in a coal generator somewhere, and I'm like, I've got a really quick answer.
ChatGPT, make me look bearded.
Man City won the league before they got really rich.
Exactly. So look, I just, as we all go out this weekend and drink rosé in the gardens, you know, spare a thought for
you. Just want to be. This is in praise of Killjoy.
Exactly.
What are we saying here?
I am the sinner this week.
He wants to save the planet.
The climate is...
It sounds worthy, but everyone wants a sausage in the garden. Do you know what I mean? Is that not true?
They do. Everybody wants a sausage in the garden.
With their rosé.
Not a euphemism.
Definitely not. Do you know, I didn't even think it was a euphemism till I saw Shane's eyebrows go up there and look at me like, all right, missy. You know what I mean, though. And I do take your point. But part of me has a mindset that says this. Climate change, I remain optimistic that we're working towards trying to fix it on some level. But that doesn't take from the fact that it's okay to enjoy the sunshine that we get rarely here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Two things can be true at once.
Yes, we contain a multitude as humans.
Extreme weather does freak me out and worry me. And like, there's now obviously a whole category that's just environmental anxiety that a lot of people have as well. So now I'm killing the buzz now. And it does freak me out. So like last year when there was really warm days in the beginning of the year and everyone's like, this is amazing. I was like, is it though? Like, sorry to be the ghost in the corner, but I just... It is, like, it can be worrying, but, you know, I agree with you. We're not focused on it anymore.
I think Jared is completely right. I think we are so, and it's not even that, you know, every time there's a hot day, you have to go, oh my God, this is awful. But we are so blasé about global warming. People do not care. And why do we not care? Because it doesn't affect us at the moment. And it doesn't affect us in the West. It affects people in much poorer countries. People die every day because of global warming, but we don't really give a monkey's.
Okay. But is that not sort of human nature? Yeah, I think it was Theodore Dalrymple said we are more upset about stubbing our own toe than you know, a massacre on the other side of the world. Human nature, it's very hard to hold huge, expansive thoughts in our heads. So we bring, you know, all politics are local. All issues are local.
We might be blowing our own feet off at the moment is the thing. Unbeknownst to ourselves, we've got a gun pointing at our foot. They're cocked at the moment and ready to go.
I do see that, but yet I love a
A bit of tan.
Sunshine.
Yeah. We all do. That's the thing.
One of the most depressing things I read was you know, you could recycle your entire life. You could do all sorts of things for your entire life. But one private jet trip from Kylie Jenner has ruined everything you've done. And I found that depressing.
Yeah. But see, there's also, there's the bit of the what about thing, which we get a lot.
Yeah.
You know, people saying, well, we need to do more. And people say, you know, there's so many coal powered
in China. Also Germany.
So there's nothing we can do. And so it's easy to kind of go, well, if Kylie Jenner has a private jet, what does it matter what I do?
I think
we're not willing to take responsibility personally. And I'm not sure that's going to change.
No.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to change.
Yeah,
probably until because of people late. Like me.
Well, I'm not sure. It's easy to talk the talk, but
I also find it really. See, I think I'm kind of the opposite. You know, you're saying you have environmental anxiety. I find it very hard to be anxious about almost anything. Right, I just have that kind of brain. I'm always like, it'll all work out. I have that mindset about life, and I find
it's a coping skill too, in a good way,
because I have
Cope
that.
Denial.
A river in Egypt, but Shane works with me a long time, and you know that
testify to
this is kind of how I am. I'm like, but it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It'll work out, and you know what? It kind of always does.
That might be true. I hope you're right. I hope the greatest scientists in the world are spending their time in this, as opposed to you know, launching SpaceX. Into,
oh God,
you know, yeah,
yeah. Good point. Very good point.
Speaking of sinners.
Yeah. Alison.
Are you superstitious? Is anybody superstitious?
I like to say I'm not, but secretly I am.
Same. I'm like, oh, that's stupid. Anyway, I'm not going to cross that.
I'm not walking under that ladder.
Yeah.
Ah, mirror has broken.
Yeah, that is stressful. Yeah. Whit Sunday. I've lived in Ireland for how long? And this is the first time I've come across it. Do you know it?
If it rains on Whit Sunday, it's going to rain for 40
I think
days.
Just in general, it's a bad day. So it's like,
I didn't know this.
So the 24th of May, which is this Sunday, sorry, everybody. So they obviously, Ireland is full of folklore, which is amazing and great storytelling. And there's Halloween, the birthplace of Halloween, all this kind of stuff. But it's the seventh Sunday after Easter, Whit Sunday, which is literally when they used to believe you don't go outside because bad things are going to happen to everybody. And so I'm like, oh my God. And this is like kind of making my inner superstition come through. So water, bad to be around, unless of course it's holy water. Don't have a bath, guys, on Sunday, by the way. Don't. And animals as well.
Where does it come?
It's all
Sunday is the day when Jesus descended to the on the apostles, isn't it? Descended to them.
And, yeah, so it's,
yeah,
it's
so
built
why is
in.
That, why is, if you're a Christian,
it's considered
why would that,
that
be a bad thing?
I don't know. Well, maybe this isn't a Christian thing. Maybe this is where.
Oh, it could have predated, couldn't it, I guess?
So they believe that it's particularly the day where evil is on earth, which is really scary. So,
actually,
yeah, so
the
guys.
The Holy Spirit that descended onto my side.
I'm sorry, I don't know my religion.
That before, yeah. So.
I know Whit Weekend. I didn't know about the 7 weeks from Easter. So I always thought Whit Weekend was kind of the June bank holiday. I thought they were the same thing in my head, but they're obviously not. And I remember what you said, Ger, that if it rains on...
That's since Whitten's Day. I've mixed
that
up.
That is Whitten's. Yeah. That's like from one day.
So be careful on Sunday.
Oh, God.
Basically.
Now, I did say I don't worry about things, but now I'm worried about this irrational thing. I'm not worried about climate change, but I'm worried clearly about Whit Sunday now.
Exactly, Akira. Are you going to play hurling or football on Sunday? Don't do that on a Whit
play
Sunday.
Play hurling or football.
Yeah.
There would be plenty of Gaelic football and hurling.
All the users will blame this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the curse of Whit.
And if animals were born on this day, it was really bad as well. So there you go. So that's definitely my sinner, because now it's planted irrational thoughts in my head.
You're usually good in this kind of thing, Shane.
Your sinner is the
Whit Sunday.
It's the birthday of the church, because I think it is known as the church's birthday.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone's going to take me out for that.
There is a certain irony about that. I like it.
And it's sinful, which is kind of where sin came about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go.
Sure. You're not superstitious, are you?
No.
There was a lot of no's there, Ger.
I'm trying to think of slightly
less believable.
Or anything ever. No. It doesn't make any sense to me.
As a very quick side,
power agency thing, it's like
the numbers in Japanese folklore, this is very sorry out there, but 4 and 9 were very bad, and I grew up with two girls in Tokyo, and that has stayed with me for life. So like even when I was buying a house, I was like, I don't want either of those numbers in that address. Like that was the extreme.
Really?
Just those two
would
numbers
in a number 13 house.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't bother me. It's
4 and 9.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so bizarre. But then my daughter was born on the 4th, and it's all good.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Park that, Alison.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little short skippity-hop break here, but we'll be back with more winners and sinners after this.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
It is the last part of the show, but Alison, what is your any other business this evening?
500 Miles is new film out. I have Maisie Williams on the show this weekend, which is very lovely. I had to admit to her I'd never seen of Game of Thrones at all, and she was fine with it. But yeah, she has a Dublin accent in it, and she does really well. Bill Nighy's in it, and his accent's also excellent. Beautiful scenery of Ireland. It's beautifully shot. Claire Dunne is amazing in it as well. Based on a book. It is really sad, just to prepare you. It is sad, but it's a gorgeous story.
There's a, sorry, I should declare an interest here. One of my neighbours, Malcolm Byrne, Malcolm Byrne, he's a politician. Malcolm Campbell is the screenwriter. He's a brilliant, brilliant screenwriter.
He's done a very good job.
What Richard did, he did.
Is everyone who lives on your street incredibly talented? What the hell? It's like Sesame Street or something, isn't it?
I never thought of it like that. There's a lot of very talented.
You might meet the Nobel laureate in your neighbourhood.
And Imal is brilliant, so I'm.
You're going
to
love this.
Biased here. But it strikes me, and I'm going to see it on Sunday. Actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But a little bit of, I don't know if you remember these films, Flight of the Doves meets Into the West.
Oh yeah.
That kind of vibe. Both
okay.
Of those were,
I loved Flight of the Doves.
Yeah. I think they do. I know the names, though. So I can't do an accurate comparison.
Do you remember,
for
are you.
You
too young to remember Flight of the Doves?
Just about. It would
Flight
have been
of
Christmas
the Doves was a. Yeah. Yeah.
But Into the West?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Into the West. Peak Into the West. Heritage.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it. Oh, no.
Well, sorry. It's a brilliant film in its own right. But it kind of reminds me of that kind of.
It's just so beautifully shot. And it's minimalist in many ways, but it's lovely. And don't listen to the critics who say the accents are terrible, because obviously there's a long history of people who do not master the Irish accents in cinema.
It is a weird accent. It's subtler than people think it is, I think.
I've lived here forever and I still can't do it. So I definitely would strongly recommend people go and see it. So yeah.
I do actually love Bill Nighy. He was in here. We met him when he came in to talk to John Fardy about 500 Miles. I met him in the kitchen. I was making coffee and I turned around, Bill Nighy standing beside me, and he was exactly as you would want him to be. He was a charming, lovely, warm, softly spoken kind of gentleman, and I already loved him, and then I just loved him a little bit more.
That's nice when that happens.
Yeah, meet your heroes.
Got the Irish passport after Brexit as well.
Yeah,
I like those did. He did. He absolutely did. Ger, what is your any other business?
Well, just to open the kimono here, right? I did my winners and my any other business, and then I realized actually the sinners should be climate change. And now I've started to use AI properly over the last couple of weeks, and now I realize I'm like
the irony.
What a hypocrite! What a hypocrite! But it's actually really good when when you learn how to use
screw the planet
sausage in the garden.
Give us an example of it. Like, does it make a difference to your work, for example?
Yeah. So there are these things called agents that you can build, and you can get it to do research on things on a standing basis. So if you wanted, say, all of the political correspondents, what they're writing about today, and an analysis of the angle and history of their work over the last couple of weeks, you can get that by the press of a button in the morning, first thing in the morning. So I can do that for different sports, different teams within different sports. And you're like, well, this is pretty good. This is like all the newspapers read, all the social media accounts scraped, all of it kind of into 500 words, 700 words, as long as you want it.
So, I'm really curious about this. So, let's say obviously I follow Arsenal. Let's say I was to put in Arsenal in that thing. How would I curate it?
You just need a lesson first in how to build an agent. And what you would do in that situation is pick all the Arsenal journalists and all the Arsenal sources that you wanted distilled, and give the agent an explanation of exactly how much information you wanted. So, if you want, I don't know the names of any specific Arsenal. So
Amy Lawrence, for example,
Arsblog, and three others. Whatever they post will be scraped, analysed, and there'll be, are there any trends here? What are the trends? Are there any agendas that they have? So say one of them is specifically against Arsene Wenger back in the day, you'd be able to see how they were following up on that or going against that.
Can I show my stupidity here and say, what do you mean you build an agent?
I didn't know what that was last week either. So this is the zeal of the convert. An agent is like a little piece of software that you can design to do a specific job that you want.
And do you do that within like ChatGPT or Grok or something. Exactly. You go into one of the AI apps and you do it.
There's like create new agent is one of the options. Okay. We got a lesson from our colleague Johnny McRae last week, and since then I've been messing around. This is at the very basic end, by the way. There are people who are.
It's pretty fascinating, though.
Incredible, far more useful things than like telling you what's on the internet. You know, there are other ways. There are other applications of this for people who are not in my line of work. But
I was talking to a leaving cert student about a week ago, and she was saying she is using it to help her Spanish. So she is asking it to speak to her in Spanish, and then correct her answers. So I think that's incredibly clever. I wouldn't have thought of it in a fit. But so, so the thing is asking her questions in Spanish. She's trying to answer in Spanish, and then it corrects her grammar, it corrects her spelling, and all that stuff. And that strikes me as a really another. But do you have to be a bit innovative to use it to its full potential? Because you sound innovative with what you're doing. She also sounds innovative. Well done, Ava.
And you did it online, or did somebody sit down with you?
Our colleague Johnny McRae, who presents.
Oh, sorry, you said that. Sorry, Johnny did it. Yeah.
And like, yes, that was really helpful because it just suddenly starts going, oh, that's what it is. It's not just. So up to this point, I've been using it. Travel itineraries. I'm here.
What's the best place to eat or whatever?
Which is essentially what the internet was, except slightly quicker. And that's grand. That's fine. That's what I think most people are using it. But that next stage where you're like, oh, I can just get you to do a lot of work for me.
Do you ever worry, Ger, about mistakes? Because didn't we have a story in the press a number of months back where somebody was asking AI to scrape information and AI was making up quotes that then this journalist put out as quotes. We all remember that story. And therefore, that was quite embarrassing and humiliating for a very seasoned pro journalist.
There's a book this week that was about that exact same topic that it was discovered had actually made stuff up in the book. So in this instance, you're just using it as like, show me what these people are actually saying about it and then show me the link to it so I can check it myself. So it's really about like...
Right. You got to double check.
Yeah.
Always check your cross-reference. Yeah. Check your sources.
That's what we're always told in journalism college. So.
That seems to have gone out the window.
Yeah, it certainly does. That is our last, Ciara.
I'm afraid so.
Big thank you to Alison Curtis and Ger Gilroy. That's our lot for this week. Do stay tuned for Off the Ball, Tourara, August Toga Boogie.
Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the sunshine.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.